This meeting is being recorded with the intent to distribute. Recorded meetings provide a valuable resource for SNR members. By voluntarily sharing in this recorded meeting, members are providing express permission to SNR International Family Groups to record and distribute this material. As such, it is important to keep the following meeting guidelines in mind when sharing. When sharing, please speak clearly into the microphone without touching the recording equipment. As soon as you decide you want to share, please come to the front and wait for the previous person to finish so there'll be a little time lapse between shares as possible. To ensure this recorded meeting reflects the SNR point of view, we ask that careful consideration is taken into account with the following guidelines. We do not mention or discuss specific titles and authors of publications other than SNR, SA, Al-Anon, or AA conference-approved literature. We leave our other identities outside the discussions. Other 12-step programs, issues, philosophies, religion, therapies, and occupations. We speak about and from the SNR point of view. Please be aware that the recording of this International Convention breakout session will be distributed widely. If you wish to share this meeting and would like to protect your anonymity, instead of stating your first name, you may say name withheld in the spirit of Tradition 12, or choose to share at a meeting that is not recorded. Will those who care to join me in a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Hi, I'm Mayor. I'm from New York. And we'll start with the gifts of the SNR program reading. When we approach the process of recovery with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to apply the principles of the 12 steps to our lives, we'll soon begin to see the rewards. We'll become able to surrender our self-defeating behavior. We will find that we have the strength and insight to make good choices for ourselves. Our ability to act positively on behalf of our health, families, jobs, and bank accounts will amaze us. We will find that others are doing things for themselves, which we thought we had to do for them. Our ability to give and receive love will expand tremendously, and we will become increasingly available for loving relationships with others. We will recover the feeling of joy. We'll become more honest with ourselves and experience a new comfort in our intimate relationships. We will feel the security that arises from true fellowship with others in the program, knowing that we are loved and accepted just as we are. Feelings of failure and inadequacy will be replaced by self-confidence and independence of spirit. We will no longer expect other people to provide us with an identity or a sense of self-worth. We will find the courage to be true to ourselves. We will know peace of mind and feel a stronger connection with the high power of our understanding. And our hope will turn to faith that God is really working in our lives as we explore the wonders of serenity, dignity, and emotional growth. The topic for tonight's meeting, I believe, is do I need to change? So I'll share shortly on that, and then we'll go to the reading. So I think, like many people, and I can just speak from my experience, when I joined SNR, I did not join for me to change because I thought I was perfect. I did not realize that I needed anything to be changed or worked on. I joined to fix my wife. I joined to find out what I can do to help control her. Didn't realize that it was the opposite of that in this program. And I joined SNR after my wife had already joined SA. And that came from a phone call in July. So this is my fourth year in SNR. And July, 4 years ago, one day my wife calls me and she said that she wants to get divorced. And I was so thrown off because I was like, I don't understand. Like, I stuck through everything that you did and now you want to leave? And that's when I called SNR because she was working an SA program and I wasn't working any program and she didn't want any part of that. And I had not realized that I needed to work on myself and that I needed to change and how important it was for me. So that day I called SNR to really figure out, again, what was wrong with this woman that was asking me for divorce. Like, I was so blown away. And when I joined, I was told by, you know, many people in that meeting, they were telling me that, you know, I need a change and that I need to focus on myself and work on my own program, and I really did not understand that, and I did not get that at all. But I stuck around, and I got a sponsor, and that first sponsor, it didn't work for me, and then I got a second sponsor. My second sponsor took me through the big book, but as an Essanon, and we worked the 12 steps. We did the 12 traditions, and then we did the 12 concepts. But everything as an Essanon, and it really opened my eyes to just how much I needed to change and to honestly see that I wasn't that much different than the addict. My behaviors just were different. She reacted to different things by acting out, and I reacted by controlling, by manipulating, by being vengeful, by being angry. And I was a madman, and I didn't even realize it. And I started by doing my fourth step, started seeing just how controlling I was and just how manipulative I was and just how much it was affecting me. Not even how much it was affecting her. Like, it really made my life more complicated. And I started to see how much, if I were to change, what it would do for me. And that's really the growth that I got. And, you know, there was a time where I wasn't doing some of my step work, and my sponsor wasn't so happy with that. And she was like, okay, listen, I can't sponsor you anymore. And she's like, you got to take a 2-week break and do a lot of writing on, do you believe that you have an illness? And do you believe that for you it's life and death either? If you don't believe it, then you don't think that you need to change. That's great. Find another sponsor. If you believe it, come back and we'll continue the step work. And I did. And thank God I did, because I really did need to change. It's really, and I think for me, the most important thing to remember is that the change that I'm doing is not to make my wife's life better. It's not to make people at work's lives better. It's for me. I want to feel better. When I lose myself, I don't feel good about it. When I blow up, I feel bad about myself. When I catch myself falling into my old behaviors, whether it's snooping, whether it's, you know, just making assumptions or blowing things out of proportion or just trying to control, I feel terrible afterwards. So I want to change, and I want to continue working on changing so I feel good, so that when I go to bed at night, I feel like I was a good person for myself. In turn, that makes me a better father to my kids. It makes me a better husband. It makes me a better boss at work. I treat people fairly. I listen to people, because I'm no longer trying to have that last word. I'm no longer trying to control. I come from a religious community, and in the beginning of the recovery journey, I used to really critique, like, my wife, the way she would go dressed to meetings, or even the way she would just leave the house, the way she was dressed. And I had to come to a realization that doing that was all my ego. There's no way that I'm so righteous that I believed that I was really worried about her and her spirituality and her hell. And I wasn't gaining anything. And all those comments and all those trying to control, manipulate how she practiced the religion and how she was spiritual, it didn't change her. So all it did was make me aggravated. It just gave me more resentments. And being able to just let go of that and realize that, just focus on me. I need to change. I need to change. Not her. I need to realize that it's about me, and I can't control her, and there's nothing that I can do, right? It's the same thing with this disease. We know that we didn't create it, right? We can't control it. It's the same thing. So I can't control her recovery either. And I can't control it for myself, because I want to feel good. I don't want to feel like a person who manipulates. It's not healthy for me. And I genuinely believe that I really have to break down a lot of my old beliefs, whether it's from religion, whether it's just about myself. For in order for me to change, I had to just go back to the drawing board and realize what really is important to me. Why is it important? You know, is it real? Is it just something that's in my head since my childhood? Or is it something that truly matters? And then I can also live my life the way I want to without having to control other people to do it, because I don't need her to be sober for me to be okay. I need to be okay. I want to be the best version of myself so my kids have a healthy father to turn to, so that they don't grow up in the same type of home that I grew up in. I'm doing that for me, And it's really been a true blessing since I've been able to turn that switch and start realizing that everything I do in this program is for me. It may positively affect people around me, but I need to change because that's the only person I could change. So with that, I'll go to the reading. The reading is on page 26 in Reflections of Hope. It's Destruction and Construction. I've heard it said that change is necessary, and the only constant is change. To take that leap of faith and make a decision to change my life in a profound way is very difficult, particularly to making a decision that could change my belief systems or my relationships. Making a change can still feel like I'm falling off a cliff or diving into the unknown. I think this is because change usually involves an ending, which often brings up fear or grief. Sometimes I try to block these emotions by staying in a holding pattern and avoiding making decisions that bring about change. When I don't take action, I stay stuck and suffer anyways. My sponsor is encouraging me to view change in a new way. She says that some form of destruction must take place before something new can be constructed. For example, during a renovation, demolition takes place. Land is cleared before a new building can be built. Change involves the process of destruction and construction. And while I might not notice it, these things are taking place all the time. I'm learning to actively work step 3 during transitions in my life. I'm beginning to see that I can trust God to be with me and that I can leave outcomes to my higher power. When I do this, things seem to work out just the way they are supposed to, no matter how large or small the change is. Further reflections. If I knew that a higher power was truly in charge of my life and that everything happening now would work out for the best, how would I feel and act? Please remember, this is a recorded meeting. Essanon distributes member recordings to carry the message in the spirit of the 12th, in the step of 12. Members share from their own experience and do not represent Essanon as a whole. We encourage listeners to take what you like and leave the rest. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. Please come to the front of the room if you'd like to share. Please remember there's no crosstalk. That is, we share the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members. We limit the length of our sharing so that everyone here will have a chance to speak. Our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves and not the sexaholic. Is someone willing to volunteer to be a timekeeper? Thank you. I guess we'll do about 10 minutes. The meeting is now open for shares. I think about 2. Makes sense.
Right. Thank you for that. Thanks for your share. Hi, I'm Rachel. So I've been involved with recovery process for close to 40 years now. And I think the one thing I've learned that is constant is change. Life is about change. I think back to where I was back when I started the whole process of living with a person with a sexual addiction, is I went from pointing a finger to learning that sexual addiction is a disease. So I went into the disease model, and that has worked for me. Just like diabetes is, just like obesity is, just like asthma is, it's a disease. Probably one of my most influential therapists that I had back 30 years ago was a woman who did not allow me to focus on the addict, but just made me focus on myself. And what I learned from her and learned from that process is how much I had lost myself with living with the addiction. And so from there, I began my work on myself and learning to just what it was that I needed. And living with somebody is always, I've lived with the same person now for 51 years. We just celebrated our 51st anniversary. And what I've learned from that is that it's always kind of working. It's working the process. It's working a balance between two people's needs. And my husband is in recovery. So, you know, that has made it somewhat easier. But there's other challenges now. There's other challenges that we face as we age. You know, number one, I'd have to say the challenge of has to be with just how you live your life, but different facets of your life. So with that, I'm finished, and thank you.
Hi, I'm Robin. And I remember very early in recovery, my sponsor saying to me multiple times, but very clearly, you are doing this for you. You're not doing it for him. You don't know what's going to happen to him. He may be in recovery. He may work a great program. He may fall out of recovery. He may, you know, fall out of sobriety. You don't know what's going to happen with him. So you're doing this for you. And I came to really cherish those words because there were times of sobriety, times of not sobriety, times of recovery, times of not recovery. And ultimately, after a long time, my husband, now former husband, chose to end the marriage. And so I reflect back on those words very, very early that you are doing this for you. And when I fully, really, fully took that to heart and began to change, then, you know, all the miracles that each of you have experienced in program and will experience in program, you know, became coming into my life, a better relationship with my higher power, you know, being able to heal relationships with my children and just being able to have a richer, fuller life. And learning to see where I can change and where I need to change, and then have made, you know, great changes, and then see there's areas where I still need to make changes. But those words very, very early in program, you're doing this for you. You don't know what's going to happen to him. You're doing this for you. And I really hung on to those words. So thanks for letting me share.
Hi, I am going to withhold my name in the spirit of Tradition 12. You know, I feel like this topic can go in so many different directions, but the title of the meeting is Do I Need to Change? And that's so helpful for me to think about in relationship with others, especially when I'm bumping up against something or I feel like I am, I can ask myself, how am I doing the same thing that I'm disturbed by in this other person? And the person I interact with probably the most is my husband, who's my qualifier. And it's so helpful for me to ask that, and really it's asking myself, do I need to change, you know, and how, because I'm the only person that I can change. And it's so much easier, and I'm so much quicker to see things in him, and really, I do the same thing. I am very messy. You know, I really am. He's no messier than me, but his stuff, you know, bothers me, and my stuff, you know, I don't see. You know, oh, I think you should probably start exercising in this way. Oh, should I? Actually, yes, I probably should. We're not that far apart in age. So anyways, it's just really useful for me to be able to, you know, put down the magnifying glass, pick up the mirror, and put the focus back on myself towards the only person that I can change and that I'm responsible for changing. So thank you for letting me share.
Hi, I'm Penny. Coming into the program, I believe like many others, we thought it was what a weird program. We have a spouse that's an addict, and we're coming in and listening to the first meeting. Everyone's talking about themselves. I'm like, am I in the right room? I wasn't sure what's going on. And people are talking about themselves, how they have to change. I got to learn that I am an addict just like my wife is. She has the drug of choice for me is more socially accepted than hers. My drug of choice is sometimes encouraged in the outside world. Control is great, but it's a drug of choice that I have. It's my addiction, and I have to let go of that. The biggest compliment I got was I had a conversation with my wife a couple months ago, and she wanted me to decide for her about therapy or whatever it was, and said, I can't tell you what to do. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. And she was like, can you please put SNR aside for a minute and talk to me like a normal person? And that was the biggest compliment for me. It was like, I'm reaching a point where I can let go of control. I know that I don't know anyone's destiny. I don't know where things have to go. And I just have to focus on myself for who I am and for what I need to do. And as the gifts of the program that I, in my outside of my personal life, when it comes to work, when it comes to friends, I'm able to let go of control. I'm able to, I have people working beneath me and I need to manage them and I have to talk to them and issues come up and situations come up. I'm able to handle it in a way of, I'm not in control of the situation that's going on. I have to do my best. I can do everything I can. And after I've done everything I can, it's done. I can do more than that and I can't get frustrated, but it changed me as a person. So I'm able to manage people, individuals differently, knowing that we all do the best we can and I can't control a person doing differently. There's a situation at work that doesn't go the way I initially want it. I do the best and then I let go. So letting go of the other concept of control has definitely been a gift across my entire being. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stacy. Oh, I think when I came to Essanon, it opened up my perspective to a whole different way of living. I resonate a lot in the third step prayer. It talks about relieve me of the bondage of self. And the inability to change or the unwillingness to change really was a bondage to myself. And Essanon is filled with so much hope and healing, so much hope for a new and better way to live. And I recognize that I really was in a bondage to myself in terms of trying to control and manage other people's lives. I believed in God, but I actually often put myself on the same level as God or very often thought my ideas were better than his. I can resonate a lot in our 12-step book where it talks about, you know, our next scheme or strategy surely would solve the problem, and it was the proverbial snowball rolling downhill. That really was my life, always chasing the snowballs and thinking, yeah, my next big idea was going to solve all my problems. And what it did was just lock my life down even more. So the notion that I'm able to change myself, things like anger, I had such a rage problem, and it was really my only way of coping with that insidious sexaholism that was, you know, kind of eating away at my marriage and the life of my family and my own personal health and sense of well-being. it's just so sneaky, and it was hidden so well. But most of the time, I knew that something was desperately wrong, you know, in my marriage. And even the most intimate times, especially physically intimate, you know, there was just an emptiness there. But I had a rage and anger problem, and people would say, well, just count to 10, you know, walk away, hit the pause button. And I just, it was so like, wait a minute, is that even possible? But I guess when I got into the program, I followed the instructions given in the very first meeting, a suggestion to get a sponsor and work the 12 steps. And through the process of following that simple guidance, I did start to gain tools and principles that really helped me to recognize the only person I can change is me, and I no longer suffer that bondage of self. I can surrender to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Hi, I'm Diane. The first thing that I got in this program was a bookmark that said, keep the focus on you. Or keep the focus on myself. And like, oh, well, really? I mean, I think I really was focusing on myself because it was always about me. Like, oh, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Oh, I'm feeling scared. Oh, this is blah, blah, blah. So, but that was really the arrogance in my life, that I was always thinking about me when I really thought I was thinking about other people. So I always thought, well, you know what? If I could change, I would have changed, because I wanted to be somebody different. I wanted to be another person, somebody I'd see some good trait in somebody else, and I wanted to be them. And that's what I would focus on rather than, you know, like, how do I change myself? Well, the only way I could do that was to find my higher power and really to turn my life over to him. And the question here was, if I knew that a higher power was truly in charge of my life, how would I feel? Oh, my gosh, I would be so full of joy, so excited about life. I mean, because life happens and everything is just the way it's supposed to be. So I don't have to worry about when situations arise that are against the way I want to see it. Because it's like, well, I don't know the whole picture here, but I'm sure this fits right into the puzzle place where it's supposed to. So I don't, you know, that I'm just told that I don't have to worry about everything. And I like the saying of, if you're pointing a finger at one finger, you got three pointing at myself. And that's very telling for me, because if I focus on my spouse, then I'm getting into my unmanageability rather than, like, what's going on with me. And that's what I appreciate the program, how it helps me, gives me these little hints of telling me I need my higher power to let him, that I can be open to let him make those changes in me. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Ellen from San Antonio. I didn't want to come to this meeting, and it's exactly where I need to be. I grew up in a home of alcoholism and sexaholism, and my parents weren't present. And I only knew that one way. And I lived in a fantasy, and throughout my high school years, read lots of romance novels and dreamed about the time that my knight in shining armor was going to come and rescue me out of this awful situation. And I believed all of that. And when I met my spouse, and we got married within 6 months, and he was my soulmate and the love of my life, and 42 years later, still here, you know, it was a real hard thing to look at what reality was. And the reality is that, yes, my spouse is a sex addict, but I also have a disease. And I think looking at that was probably the hardest piece for me of this program, having to come face to face with who I am as an individual. And I didn't like that. I did not like who I found. I was impressed in this reading. I have it bookmarked, underlined, and yet today I hear it doesn't matter how large or how small the change is, you know. We don't change in big chunks. That's what I'm learning. You know, it's, you know, it just seems so overwhelming in the beginning that there's just so much that has to happen, so much acceptance, so much work that I have to do to look at myself, to do my steps, to do my fourth step inventory, to get through my traditions. I mean, there's just so much. And yet, here it says, just little by little, and that is what my higher power has really taught me. Thank you. It's just that it's the little by little. It's the meeting by meeting. It's the call by call. It's just showing up for myself and really trusting that God does have this and he has the answers and being willing to admit that I don't and to admit that I do need to change even today. This is an ongoing process. I will always default to my old behaviors. So today I have to remind myself that I need to change. Thanks.
Hi, my name is A, and I joined the program about little less than a year ago. Discovery was really hard, and at that time I was like, I really need to figure out what's going on. Engineer by training, highly analytical, I thought, I can do this. I went to the program figuring out, and I'm very social, so I wanted to go talk to people and have friends in the new place that I was at, new city, and I met all of these members talking about needing to change themselves, and I'm like, it must be crazy, like, what are they talking about? This can't be real. So I was in that phase for, I think, about 2 months, and then I started understanding the control and the obsession and the snoopiness and all the behaviors, all the character defects that I had within myself. I was very oblivious to that. I come from a family that may be full of sexaholics and alcoholics, I don't know. But when I see the behavior traits, I understand now that that much amount of control needs to stem from some sort of addiction somewhere. And I'm just now starting to just learn the different character defects that I may have that I may need to change. So now I'm applying my engineering step by step to understanding what all do I have to change and how do I do that. So that's why I'm here. Thank you for listening.
I'll do another reading on the topic of change. So it's page 158 in Reflections of Hope, and that's June 6th. The courage to change myself. One Essanon tool is the Serenity Prayer. Another version of that prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change myself, and the wisdom to know I can. This tells me that I can change myself, and that God can give me the courage to do so. I put these principles into practice when my husband directed me to tell our son to mow the grass. In the past, I accepted the messenger role between my husband and my son. I was caught between my angry son, who did not want to do the chore, and my husband, who became angry when the chore was not completed. This time, I changed the things I could by telling my husband that he needed to tell our son what he wanted done. I was not going to relay that message. This initially created conflict, but it took me out of the middle. I had the courage to change my behavior and to say no. I learned that courage does not mean the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to walk through change that have overwhelmed me previously. As I enlist God's help, my shortcomings have changed into a more positive way of acting. I consciously think of the way I want to act and then implement new behaviors. It hasn't been easy, but the results have been worth it. Further reflections. I'm learning to trust myself to rise to the occasion as problems present itself. I will have the resources when I need them. I don't have to control the outcome, but I can learn to trust the process. This allows me to be less afraid of the future. I guess I'll share again. So that reading reminded me a little bit also of the acceptance prayer, which is one of my favorite prayers and readings from the Big Book. It really goes hand in hand for me, just being accepting of the situation I'm in, to realizing that the only thing I could change is really my reaction to the situations that I'm in. I can't change anything. I'm on the train, but I can basically decide, right, when to go off, when to go on, but the train is moving in one direction. I don't have control over it. So the only thing I could control is how I react to the scenarios that God puts me in, to the situations that he puts me in. So I need to work on that to change myself. And it might not always be pretty, and there might be fear, but that's okay. For me, it doesn't have to be perfect. No one promised me that it's going to be good, and it could still be very hard, but that's okay. That doesn't mean that it's wrong. Doesn't mean that I'm not doing the right thing. And I have to just acknowledge it and be like, okay, so I'm fearful, so I'm stressed, so I'm worried, but now what? Now what do I do? That's the difference in the work that I'm doing in the program is, that's great. Let me feel all these feelings. They're real. They're valid. God gave those feelings to me, but now what can I do? What do I actually have control over? It's just how I react to those feelings, what I do with those feelings, how do I treat the people around me because of those feelings. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned recently for me was that my kids have a God, and that God doesn't have any grandkids. So those are his children too. They have their own higher power. And I had that really, really had to like resonate with me a lot. And I had to like really burn that into my mind, because so much I tried to control their outcomes and so worried about what their outcomes are going to be. You know, my wife is an SA, she's an NAAA, and over the past couple of years has had suicide attempts. So there's a lot of control that I was trying to do to change their lives. And I had to come to the realization that they have a higher power and I can change their life. And whether they'll end up in addiction or they're going to end up in therapies and rehabs or whatever it is, that's, they have a God. And my wife didn't cause that. Whichever high power put them into this world, put them in this family because they needed this journey. And it's not the opposite. It's not the other way. It can't be the other way, because if it's the other way, then I don't believe in a high power. So for me, I had to come to realize that they're on this journey, and the only thing that I can do is change myself so that way they do have someone healthy to look up to. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Elise from San Diego. Hi. I grew up the middle of three girls in my family, and as the middle child, I always felt like I was the glue of the family. I was the glue between my two sisters that were 7 years apart or 6 years apart, and they didn't always get along, but I could kind of bring them together. I was the glue between the kids and the parents. I was the glue between my two parents, et cetera. And so I spent a lot of time being a peacemaker, a peacekeeper. And although perhaps, I don't even know, but perhaps I might have made peace around me, there was a lot of inner turmoil going on because I would sacrifice me for the good of the whole just to keep peace around me, kind of a thing. And through program, I found a little bit of my voice, which it's been difficult for me to kind of stand up for myself, and especially to my mother, who is a very dominant person. And a couple years ago, when all the stuff with the pandemic was going on and whatever, and my parents recently moved to San Diego from Northern California, and it was all the vaccines and the boosters and all of this going on, and my boys, I have three boys that are 28, 25, and 21, had decided after getting their vaccines that they didn't want to get their boosters. Neither here nor there, this is not a political anything, but my mother was very upset by this, and she says to me, mother of three boys in their 20s, you need to tell them that they need to do this. This is disrespectful to Papa, and they just have no regard for what's going on. And I said, you know what, Mom, you have a mouth and they have ears and you're totally welcome to have a conversation with them if you want to, but I'm not really part of this triangle. Yes, you are. You're their mother. And mind you, it would be different maybe if they were 8 and 5 and 1, but they're 28 and 25 and 21. And I thought, you know, they're adult children. And it was really interesting because she was really angry. And I remember going to my sponsor saying, did I do something wrong? Should I have, like, talked to my kids? And she said, you know, a lot of times when you change, people that are used to you being the peacekeeper are not used to you having a voice and standing up for yourself and not taking the heat for everybody else. And it becomes very difficult on them, and that becomes a them issue. And I still don't know right, wrong, or indifferent, but although that world might be a little bit more upset, there's so much more of a peace inside of me for removing myself from chaos that doesn't belong to me. And that's been really difficult for me. But the inner peace that it gives me to be able to take myself out of equations that don't involve me has been good. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Joe, and you know, like growing up, I was always wanting to change all kinds of things about myself, and reading books on how to change, and signing up for programs on how to change, and I knew that I wanted to change, but I didn't know, like, how do you do this, and so one of the gifts that I would say that I have gotten now is now, like, I really could look in the mirror and say, Like I was that person who would be pointing and thinking someone else needed to change, and I just go, wow. So it's been such a painful process, but it's such a gift in knowing that I am the only one who can change, or my higher power. And then also the comfort in the last, second to the last reading, of how would I be if I knew that my higher power was leading me and was really in control, how I could just relax and accept everything. And just the little, I feel like I'm a slow learner, but just step by step, little by little, I just feel like, I'm changing, and it feels good. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
This is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity. The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside the meeting, including to spouses or family members. They are told so that we may better understand this program and ourselves, and give encouragement and help the newcomer so we may keep what we have been given. We'll read the closing prayer, and we'll read the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and do with me as Thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen.